We talked last time in John 14, Jesus lays out the promises of God for us, and we know that those promises only come through Jesus Christ. What is Jesus? He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a lot of what the Scripture tells us about, a lot of what Jesus talks about is us going to the kingdom of heaven. And it's like, you know, that's a reality. It's there. And hopefully we're pressing toward it in our heart and mind. But he also does something for us today, now, right? And that is he builds a relationship with us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, so that we can walk with God and know God now as we head toward the kingdom of heaven. And I don't think we ever want to miss the idea of the things that God has given us for today that lead us to the kingdom. Because it's not only meditating or thinking about the kingdom of God, but it's about being formed and being prepared and following the ways of God day by day as we grow in our lives to go with Him to the kingdom of God. So we're in John 14. Verse 15, and he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So here you had, again, last time we talked about, you know, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And there was the promise. Remember, we talked about that place, presence, and a people, right? The kingdom of heaven. Always in Scripture, there's a condition for promises. There are people that like to talk about the promises of God, and that's all they want to talk about. God promised me that whatever I ask, and God promised me a place, and God, you know, all the things that God promises, but they don't want to think about the condition of the promise, and the condition is as important as the promise. The condition is, if you love me, you will obey my commandment, my commands. And Chris has been going over the Sermon on the Mount the last few weeks in Sunday school, and Jesus' commands are pretty severe. Jesus commanded them, he said, listen, you think it's okay that you don't commit adultery? If you're looking at a girl to lust at her, if you're looking at a boy to lust at him, you're as guilty as an adulterer. You think you're okay because you haven't committed murder? If you even have hatred in your heart towards someone, that's the same thing as murder. Even if you call someone an idiot or a fool or a moron, he says that's the same thing as murder. So the commandments of Jesus are heavy. They're weighty. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's interesting that what he does in the New Testament and our relationship with God changes so much from the Old Testament. You remember the Old Testament, how the commands of God came? They came on the mountain of Sinai, and there was thunder, and there was storm and lightning, and the people were terrified. God himself spoke, and the people said, Lord, you know, Moses, you go up there and talk to him. If we hear him anymore, we're going to die, right? Right? Yeah. They were terrified. Here, Jesus doesn't speak in a thundering voice. He says, if you love me. He speaks in a way about relationship. He speaks in a way about a unity between us and Jesus Christ. And he does that because in the Old Testament, you could only go so close to God. You remember, they actually literally put up barriers and said, you can't get any closer than this. And that's why they struggled so hard to do what was right, because they couldn't get close to God. What Jesus is about to tell us and what we should have in Jesus Christ is an intimate relationship with God that is based on love. Not just terror, not just fear, but based on love. So what does he say? He says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. I don't necessarily like the word counselor because of all the psychological stuff that goes with in our culture. The paraclete, the parakletos, right, is one who helps, one who consoles, one who encourages, and one who mediates, All right? That this is the position of the Paraclete, is what he's called. The Holy Spirit is who he's talking about. And he says, I'm going to send you another. The word another, you guys, some of you know heteron, euangelion, another of a different kind. This is another of the same kind, aleon. So there's two different words. So this one says, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a comforter, someone to be with you just like me. Who's just like me, right? Yeah. So he's promising them that he's going to give him someone to stand with them, to be with them, and he's going to teach us how to be like him. He's going to teach us how to walk like him, how to think like him, how to be in relationship with him. You know, they say opposites attract, but that's not really always true, you know? It's bad when you got two people that really like such opposite things that they end up fighting all the time and you know, I want to do this. No, we're not doing that kind of thing. You really have to have some connection with somebody if you're going to be in a good relationship with them. You can't be on opposite sides all the time. You need to be able to come with them. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I'm sending you help. I'm sending you the comforter. I'm sending you the counselor. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to help you be able to be in a relationship with me and with the Father. The other thing he says about this in this little verse, this is why I had to take this in small bites because it's so much in it. But he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, comforter, counselor. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you into eternity. He will be with you forever. One of the few things that we can take with us is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The other thing I would say about this is that he is also the seal of the promise that he has given us before. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and if you're going into the kingdom, you're going through me. The Holy Spirit signifies that those promises are real and that they're mine. It's so important, folks, that we know that we have the Spirit of God in our lives. If we don't have the Spirit of God, it's impossible to have that relationship with God. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't know that we have the kingdom of God waiting for us. There's so much that we learn, so much that we know by the Spirit of God because he is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus says, you know, that counselor, that comforter, that one that stands with us, mediates for us, he is called the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It's an amazing, what Jesus is explaining to them is the mystery of the Trinity, right? That the Holy Spirit in you, he's also called what? The Spirit of Christ. He's also called the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, the counselor, the mediator, right? But he comes into our lives. He comes into our hearts. We used to, when I was a little kid, people said, have you asked Jesus into your heart? And it's like, you know, that was the question. And, you know, how does Jesus get into my heart? How does Jesus get? Well, the Holy Spirit is what gets into my heart. The Holy Spirit is what gets into my life. The Holy Spirit is what makes Christianity real and alive. The Holy Spirit is what gives us that relationship. He says he's a Spirit of Truth, right? Not truth like what the world would call truth, because they wouldn't call the truth of God the truth. They reject the words of God. They reject who Jesus is. They don't want to call him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They don't want to trust in him as a Savior. They don't believe in the power of the cross. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe the truth. The Spirit of God, he testifies to us about the truth. The Spirit of God, he tells me, yes, Jesus is real. I've never met Jesus face to face, but the Spirit of God tells me Jesus is real. The Spirit of God tells me that when Jesus suffered on that cross, when he died, that death meant something. He tells me that that death is real and that it has power to break the power of sin in my life and to make me right with God. The Spirit of God tells me that Jesus Christ got up from the grave. The one question that we need to know, did Jesus rise from the dead? Did Jesus rise? You say, yes, He rose from the dead. It tells me the truth about Jesus Christ, that He rose from the dead. He says, you know Him. Who did they know? They knew Jesus. They lived with Him for 3 years. They heard His teaching. They heard His truth. They were comfortable with Jesus. They were going to be sad to see Him go. But when the Holy Spirit would come into their lives, as I hope He's come into our lives, it fills you with an understanding of who Jesus is. We receive that by faith. When we trust in Jesus, when we call on Jesus, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You believe in Him. You believe in Him. You believe that you need Him. I tell you right now, you've got to know, I need Him. And I don't need Him just once. I need Him every day. I constantly pray, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. God, fill Your people with the Holy Spirit. God, help us to be walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. We need God's Spirit in our lives, or we will be like everybody else. We'll start to deny the truth. We'll start to walk in different ways. We'll start to think the wrong things and do the wrong things. We need God's Spirit to guide us and lead us, right? And so the Spirit helps us to know the truth. He helps us to hold on to the truth. He helps us to run from other kinds of truths that just aren't true, right? He helps us in every way. So Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Here He even says, I will come to you. Talking about the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come to you. How do you know Jesus? Anybody ever ask you that question? How do you know? How do you know Jesus died? How do you know Jesus rose from the dead? How do you know there's a kingdom of God? The Holy Spirit tells me. When I'm awake in the Spirit, you know what I'm saying? When I'm awake in the Spirit tells me, amen, amen, amen. In other words, that's true, that's true, that's true. That's what the Spirit of God does. It leads us in that way. He says, I'm going to make you not orphans, but I'm going to make you part of My family. See, we're not orphans. We belong to the family of God. We belong to the kingdom and the family of God. He said, before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because He lives, you will live. Because I live, Jesus, because I live, He said, you also will live. Just think what that promise means. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. It gives you the ability to praise God. It gives you the ability to understand His Word. It gives you so much fruit, so much grace comes from the Holy Spirit of God, right? And it testifies to us, Jesus rose, and guess what? So will you. So will I. I will rise again because Jesus rose, right? And that is one of the scariest things about life. As you get older, you watch death. You see it happen more and more. You know people that have gone. You had friends go. And you see it more and more. You realize, in 70 years, where will all of us be? Maybe a few of the little ones might still be around. But let's face it, most of us are going to either, be lost, or we're going to be raised from the dead. The Spirit of God tells me I'm going to be raised from the dead, right? I love that idea that the Spirit of God gives me hope into eternity. He goes with us into eternity, right? So Jesus said, because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, you are in Me, and I am in you. Do you see the intimacy of this relationship? So much different from the Old Testament, the thunder on the mountain, the shaking of the earth, God's voice terrifying people. And now we have a relationship. God with us, God in us, God speaking to us, God leading us, God telling us. Someone asked in Sunday school, What if I'm doing something wrong and I don't, what does that mean I'm done? No, that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to get a hold of that. You need to work on that. How many of us have had that experience? You know, I said, yeah, because if you haven't had that experience, the Holy Spirit's not working in your life. You know, Holy Spirit convicts us of things and teaches us and leads us towards righteousness and holiness because we do want to be the children of God. He said, this intimate relationship, Jesus, the Father, and us, all united together by the Holy Spirit being in our lives, by the Holy Spirit leading us and teaching us, right? So he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. Again, this relationship, it's confirmed. How's it confirmed? You know, I spent some time in Pentecostal churches, and they would confirm the Holy Spirit by jumping over chairs. They'd confirm the Holy Spirit by dancing. They'd confirm the Holy Spirit by all kinds of different things. But you know what? I don't think I ever heard anybody say the way to confirm the Holy Spirit's presence is obedience to the Word of God. But that is indeed the confirmation. The confirmation of the Holy Spirit is that we live according to the truth of God. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, if you love me, you have my commands, you obey them. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to him. We know Jesus. We know him through his word. We know him through the Spirit. And what he wants for us is having a relationship where we walk with him. We live with him day by day, practicing the things that he would practice, doing the things he would do, thinking the way he would think, right? That's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? See, the world doesn't want Jesus. And Jesus, you know, God doesn't impose himself. God gave us freedom of the will so that we could choose to be with God. You know, I want to be with God. So I pray to God and I ask God, please give me your spirit. Now that I understand, you know, early on, I didn't even know what to pray. I just knew I wanted to be better with God. I just knew I wasn't right. And I said, God, help me because I'm not doing it right. I know that the way I'm living just isn't right. And I prayed, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me to do better. And God sent his Holy Spirit into my heart, into my life. And all of a sudden, I was able to do better. Right? And so he says the world, they don't want that. The world wants to ignore that. They want to push God out of their world, out of their schools, out of their public spaces. They don't want God anywhere around. They definitely don't want him in their homes, and they don't want him in their hearts. So Jesus says, I'm going to make myself known to you, but they're not going to know me. They're not going to understand me, and they're not going to definitely understand us, right? And then he goes on, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Now, this time, he actually uses the word. At first, he uses teaching, and second, he uses keep. It means to hold on to. And I would have preferred maybe that, because the two times of obeying commandments is good. He said that twice. And now he's saying, you have my teaching, hold to it. Meaning, you know, and we do that, right? We study the Bible. We want the Bible. We want the Word of God. And we want to hold to it so that when we have questions, we can answer. So when we have people around us even that need help, we know how to guide them, how to tell them what to do, rather than just, you know, use some worldly wisdom to help people out. We hold to the Word of God because we love Jesus. We hold to the Word of God because of what God has done for us. We want to obey God because we have the Spirit inside of us that tells us that it's so much better. It's so much better than what the world tries to live by and what they try to do and the way their lives end up and the way eternity ends up. It's so much better to have this relationship with God. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. You'll hold tight to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come, and we will make our home with him. We sing that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. The Spirit of God living in us. What does that make us? The temple of God. It's the temple of God by the Holy Spirit. He says, we will come, and we will make our home with you. We will be in it. Now think about what that means. We're headed toward the kingdom of heaven. Whose home is the kingdom of heaven? God's home. God's home. Who's going to be at home in me? God is going to be at home in me. So will I fit into the kingdom of heaven? Yes. You see? Because the Spirit of God, the presence of Christ, the presence of God prepares me to be ready to be present with God. You see? Jesus says, we will come, we'll make our home with Him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but they come from the Father. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken to you while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. One of the ways that, you know, the reason I am so like the scripture is because I believe that those scriptures, the Bible, right, was written by God and by His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses that. The Holy Spirit uses those words to remind me, to teach me, to guide me, right? And Jesus said, He's going to teach you all things. He'll remind you of everything I said. For the apostles, it meant that they could write scripture. And every part of the New Testament is what we call apostolicity. It means there's an apostle's hand on it somewhere, either in close relationship, but there's an apostle's hand on all that scripture because the Holy Spirit worked in them especially to remember the things of Jesus, to remember the things of God, to know the things of God, and to put them down for us. And then the Holy Spirit in us does this as well, reminds us of everything God spoke. God spoke a lot to us to help us to know Him, to follow Him. Then He says the last thing. And remember, these guys, this is the night before Jesus is being crucified. He says, I'm going to leave you peace. Not like the world. Not like the world. World gives you peace that makes you wake up with a hangover, right? The world gives you peace that doesn't get you through really hard trials, right? Jesus gives you peace that even in the face of death, you will stand your ground. You'll be okay. In the face of the worst trials, you'll be able to stand your ground. The Holy Spirit does so much for us, right? The Holy Spirit, when I know that I lived kind of knowing about God, and then the Holy Spirit entered my heart and my life, and I really knew God. Totally different relationship. Knowing about God and knowing God. The intimate relationship that God has planned for us is deep, is real, it takes over. Just so we see some of the things that we talked about. He lives with us forever. He lives with us forever. He takes us into eternity. He's the Spirit of truth. He reminds us of everything that God said and how God wants us to live. He adopts us into the family of God. He brings us into this intimate relationship with God and with the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three. We're in fellowship with them. It's a two-way relationship. I missed that part, but I talked about it. It isn't just God giving me stuff or God being there for me. I obey. I obey the commands. He said it twice. I obey the commands. I obey the commands. I hold tight to His Word. That's our part in the relationship. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way thing, right? And He gives us peace in the midst of turmoil. Father, I thank You so much for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for this plan of salvation that isn't just Almighty God speaking with thunder and lightning and scaring people, but it is about the Son giving His life so the Spirit could come from the Father and the Son, so He could enter into our lives and give us this intimate relationship with God and lead us in a way that is right. Lead us in a way that is true. Lead us toward the kingdom of heaven because we have the presence of God. So we can be in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Amen.